Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So, should we get the dads out? All right, why don't we cue the track? Here we go. First up, mighty man of God. He's been married to Amanda for 7 years. They met in ministry school together. He's got one beautiful daughter named Eleanor. He's an electrician apprentice, 8 months from finishing. Would you put your hands together for Quinton Lampard? Next up, he's been married to Beck nearly 25 years. He's got 3 kids, Michael, Grace, and Joshua. He works in IT, building data management systems. You need an app, you need a website, you need an IT system. He's your guy. Put your hands together for Ian Varagese. And lastly, been married to Janet for 31 years with 3 young adult kids, Rachel, Josh, and Sammy. Both he and his wife, Janet, teach at Carey Baptist College. We put your hands together for Craig Austin. Look at that. Farmer Craig, grab a seat. You take that one, I'll take the middle. There we go. I have to keep an eye on Ian over here. You know, this hat is legit. Mine's a prop. This thing has seen some sun. It's seen some hours of hustle, hasn't it? Tell us about that.
Tell us about the hat.
Yeah.
I used to work in horticulture in New Zealand back in the day. Sorry about the All Blacks. Go South Africa.
I'm confused already.
But I actually bought it in Australia. It's an Australian hat. So I tried to get into horticulture, but God had different ideas.
Oh, there you go. That's a story for another time. All right, let's talk dad fails. Quinton, give us your best dad fail.
Okay. I was actually talking to Amanda earlier this week about, and she had quite the list of dad fails. I was just trying to find a G-rated one that didn't make me look bad. When she was a newborn, Eleanor was probably a couple months old. Amanda's mum was living with us at the time, and I was bathing her in the laundry. And as we were bathing her, as newborns do, she pooed. And it was the first time she'd ever done it. And I freaked out hard. I was like, what do you do? And I'm standing there like, she's pooed. I don't know what to do. And then I'm like, Mads, she's pooed. What do I do? And we're both freaking out. And then her mum walks in and goes, just takes her out of the bath and puts her in the sink and rinses her off. It's that simple. You just rinse them off, apparently. So
that's so real for being a new parent. That's so real. Do you deal with the poop? Do you deal with the child?
Yeah, what do you do first?
It's overwhelming. I feel overwhelmed right now. Yeah. That's awesome. Ian, what about you? You've got a good one.
Yeah, I have a few. but the first one that I remember was actually when Michael was first born, he was on medication for reflux, and I, at the same time, had this killer throat. I wasn't able to swallow, so I had this medication to numb my throat. And so I'm not the only one who's done this. So Beck, trusting me as she did at the time, she said, can you give him the medication? And I gave him the wrong one. And so he was not able to swallow, drink, feed for a little
while. Yeah, so that empathizes. She empathized. How could you do that?
But he's since made up for the feed, so that's okay.
He's okay now. Praise God. Craig, you got a good one?
Yeah, I'm a teacher, and I taught Josh when he was in year 7, and every time I'd ask a question, his would be the first hand to go up. He was great in year 7, and then I got placed in his class when he's 12, and I started telling a story about Josh in front of the class, and I got home, and he just ripped me to shreds. I backed right out of that. The next 2 weeks, I just pulled it right back, and yeah, I learnt my lesson. It was really humbling, eh?
So year 7, Josh, was a little different to 17-year-old Josh. There you go. Hey, guys, tell me, what's one thing you love, this is open all about being a dad, that you didn't expect? Maybe Quinton, you go first.
I go first. I would say the awe and wonder that they see the world through.
Yeah.
I think it's just such a blessing to learn through your kids the perspective they see of the world. Eleanor's obsessed with caterpillars at the moment. So it really slows me down because every time we walk to the car, she's like, look at all the caterpillars. This is wild. And I'm like, that's so good, sweetie. You need to get in the car. So I think the awe and wonder, and they slow you down really well. Mm. So, yeah.
It's actually a beautiful thing. Yeah. So good. What about you, Ian?
I'm surprised at how much joy they bring. We laugh a lot in our house, usually at each other.
Yeah.
but they each have, all three of them have a very unique way of making me laugh. Like even just today for Father's Day, Grace, we love King Julian and Maurice from Madagascar.
Yeah, awesome.
And so she just made like a highlight reel of King Julian and Maurice, and we were just laughing.
That's awesome.
And like Joshua just pulls a face, and like Michael just mocks me in front of people in a way that he knows and I know he's mocking me, but no one else knows he's mocking me. So, but yeah, it's, I love it.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. What about you, Craig?
Yeah, 31 years of marriage, and now the kids are coming out the other side of teenagehood. Mm. There is a life after teenagehood. You guys have got little babies and stuff. And it's really wonderful to have, like, Rachel's in London at the moment, and we really miss her. But having done the hard yards in the first block of years, it's really lovely having people that you become your mates, friends, yeah? Mm. And it's something to really look forward to. For you guys out there, they've got the little guys that are pooey nappies and vomit and all that stuff. I could tell you a story about that, but we won't go there.
Yeah, so seeing them grow up and being actually amazing human beings and, yeah, getting a front row seat of that. It's really cool. We'll go a little bit more serious now. Ian, I'm going to start with you.
We talked about this, Shane.
He's like, can I just sit and play keys while the rest of you talk? And I was like...
I did.
No, you've got
I wanted
gold
to put the mic over
there.
Now,
Ian, tell us, like, what's been a challenge or a struggle for you as maybe a man or a husband or a father? And what did God sort of teach you through that?
So that's, again, another long list. I think the general theme through a lot of it is generally feeling inadequate or not up to the task. Like you have, like you marry above your pay grade and you have these kids that are, they come to you and they're perfect. And like I remember holding them and thinking, if you have any hang-ups, it's because I gave them to you. And so often there's just these times where you just don't feel up to the task.
Yeah.
And in that, so something that I do quite naturally, problematically, is then I'll attribute my performance to my value and to my worth. And that, it's a negative feedback loop that just goes down and down and down.
Yeah.
And God has been working with me, on me, through me, in me, to change that, to change the way I see, like, good or bad, failures or successes, my value, who I am, actually comes from what he says about me.
Come on.
Which is great because it's consistent and it's good.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I think some of us, we need to hear that. Yeah. We will be up and down. We will show up and do great, and other times we really won't. But his perception, his love for us, his opinion of us is good and consistent. That's beautiful, man. That's really cool. Quinn, what about you? What's been, I guess, a challenge or struggle that you've had to really allow God build or teach you or work in you through?
I think control and probably selfishness. I think before you have kids, there's nothing to rub up against the certain issues in your life. There's nothing there to like push against it. So before having kids, I was like, I don't have that much of a control issue. And then we had Eleanor, and I realized having a newborn who cries anytime she wants and needs constant attendance, it definitely butts up against your control issue very fast. So I think having to bring that to the Lord and go, okay, God, recognizing when I'm hitting my limit as well and being like, okay, I need a moment to like tag someone in, or we were blessed to have Amanda's mother with us while she was quite young for the first 6 months of her life. So I'd be like, I need to tap out because I can feel myself needing to take a moment with the Lord and go, okay, God, like, what do I do with how out of control I feel? And I think selfishness is the same. It's the same sort of thing. You just don't realize, how self-centered your life is until, something's rubbing up against it for sure. Mm. Yeah.
So it sounds like what he's saying is a big thing for you is then actually catch that and bring it before God.
Totally.
And say, okay, God, I need you in this space. And
recognizing my triggers and at what moment I need to tap out to spend time with the Lord to like figure out what I need to do so that I can kill that thing, you know?
Yeah, beautiful. So good, man. Well, Craig, I want to ask you a question. When you've, I guess, discovered or become aware of like a weakness in yourself that's now affecting those around you or your family, how do you go about
dealing with that or changing?
Yeah, first year of marriage was memorable for the wrong reasons in regards to having a father that modelled anger and manifesting that. Let's just say it was great to move on from that, but it didn't really move on because it's generational and it can sort of pop up again. So dealing with the anger, it's great having older kids now and they just say, "Dad, snap out of it. Stop being a dork." but the key part of it is communication with my kids and my family so that when they can see I'm getting like that, but for me to pick up the signs to not go down the same pathway that I used to do in my first and second and third and fourth and fifth years of marriage and being humbling myself much quicker than I would have done when I was first married, and getting some pretty significant prayer as well, like deliverance.
I want to just touch on something you said about sort of dealing with it, and you're not walking in that anywhere near like you were, but still having to keep an eye on that. And I think that's a beautiful learning for us, because sometimes we think, oh yeah, I've really overcome that, God's dealt with that with me, and that will never ever be an issue again. But they're all laughing because they're like, no. And I think it's understanding our wholeness is like layers. So it's like, okay, God dealt with an insecurity here, but now it's going to pop up in a different way. And that's actually God's kindness, in that he doesn't help us become so aware of all of our issues at once. But he's like, yeah, cool, let me walk with you through this. Let me help you discover how I'm your peace in that space, or how you can trust me, you don't need to be in control, or whatever it may be. I think, I know you said to me about that whole sense of full surrender to Jesus. Anything you want to add on that?
Yeah, often God will want to deal with me like at 1 or 2 in the morning. And so
praise God,
bringing it to him and repenting. And then often it'll be a thing of getting into full-on worship with God, putting the earbuds in there and cranking up, Elevation and all those, Nations Church Worship. And
Good shout out.
Yeah, but surrendering to God and completely in that space and being able to go back to bed and have a real deep sleep after that because you know you've let it all go.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. That might be the key to some people's sleep right there. It's like, have you actually just surrendered something to God? Yeah, beautiful. Let's talk about apologizing. That's pretty tough for a lot of men and dads and maybe Quentin will go. How have you learned to apologize well to Mads or to your kids or Eleanor?
Well, yeah. It's easy. I'm not wrong very often, so it's pretty easy. So let's be real, well guys. Come on, well, if you know me.
You're going to have something to apologize for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sorry, bud. No, to apologize is to admit fault and to admit that you've done something wrong. So I think when raising kids, I don't want to ever, for Eleanor to ever think that I know that I don't make mistakes or that I can't fail or that I can't fall short.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I'm like, I want to teach her to apologize now, and I want to model that so that she knows that just because you need to apologize doesn't mean that you fail. Yeah. And I guess in a way, like, we do fail because we fall short, but you don't stay there. Yeah. And it's actually a growth point, and you can actually continue. I think it's John Maxwell talks about this in one of his leadership books that to fail is stepping stones to your growth. I think that's a part of why I would say I would do apologize to Amanda and Eleanor quite diligently, I would say, is so that she recognizes that we don't. If we fall short, it's fine. We can push through it, and there's forgiveness and grace on the other side. So, and we often say to her, like, if you apologize now, we leave it here and it's finished, and we don't have to talk about it again. We can move on. Mm. So yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. I love how you talk about just having that permission to fail or to admit fault. And I think that that you can only do that if you're coming from a place of knowing who you are in the Lord, rather than, no, I have to have it all together, because if I don't, then who am I? Knowing that, no, I'm a son, like I'm a daughter, whatever you may be in that. Like, and so all I need is found in him. So it's okay if I don't measure up, because he still loves me in that space, and that's what helps us actually be who our families need us to be. Beautiful. What about you, Craig, in that space of apologizing well?
On our when we got married, the night of our wedding, Janet's grandfather came to us, and basically a word that's just resounded down the years was, don't go to bed angry with each other. Seek to actually deal with it. But linking into saying sorry, really learning how to push through hard. I want to be the first person to say sorry. So not that I'm wanting to beat Janet.
Sometimes not a little bit.
Janet, but, you know, yeah, sorry.
We know what you mean. There.
Yeah. But come back together really quickly so that it can get dealt with rather than letting it sit there like some vomit that doesn't really get dealt with unless you want to clean it up.
Yeah. Mm, beautiful. Yeah, deal with it quickly. Humble yourself quickly too.
Because what happens is the root of forgiveness comes unforgiveness if you don't deal with it. And that's like almost like the number one thing which allows the door to open up to the enemy to come in and just put layer upon layer. If you don't deal with it, it's going to, mountains out of molehills, it will grow really quickly.
Just
don't give a foothold to the enemy. I mean, that's key.
That's wisdom. That's wisdom in that. But sometimes I think people, I'm going to hold this against them. I'm going to let them really feel it. And I think all you're doing is punishing yourself in that space. Ian, I want to ask you, you run your own business, is that right?
That's the theory.
Yep, good, good. Well, we're going to run with that theory. For some of these guys that are really aspiring entrepreneurs, but also looking at, I want to build a family, or those of us that are in that space of, we work full-time, but with the kids and all that kind of thing, how much work is too much? Like, how do you work out where your time and attention goes?
Well, I think my wife is best placed to answer that question. I think there are seasons, and there's swings and roundabouts, gives and takes. And I think it really depends also on the age and stage of your kids. So my kids, sometimes I don't even know where they are. And, so I can't spend time with
them. Same. Is that bad?
You might need to call the cops.
Okay, sorry.
No, I think it just depends. Like when they were younger, and full credit to my wife, she just runs the house. She knows the calendar. She tells me what's happening in the day. But we'll turn up for games and we'll be as supportive as we can just to show them that we're there and that we're family. But then there are also times when you are working crazy hours and you are not home much. And it's just like that bank analogy, right? You got to put money in so you have money to take out. And it's not even so that you take money, you can take money out, but you'd want to invest as much as you can, because the other thing is also your kids will get older, grow up, and leave home with or without your input. And it just depends on what you did while they were there that's going to hope, and Craig's reaping the benefit of that now that they're friends. And that's because it's not, they're wonderful kids, but it's not just because of that. It's because Craig and Janet invested in it. And now what were his kids that he was leading and discipling and teaching them and all that, now it's much more of a friendship. And that's all I have to say on that.
Yeah, beautiful. No, that's amazing. I think that's it, that bank account analogy of like, yes, there is times when there's a season where you need to put in the work and that's required of you. But if that's always the time, if it's always withdrawing from the family, then there's nothing to worry with. But if it's like, now there is some margin, so I'm here, I'm present, I'm pouring into my kids, I'm making memories, I'm doing all those things, I think that's so important. I think it's what we heard from some of the other dads across the day was also, like, it's not the one big ticket item, like, you're never around, and so then we'll go on a holiday for a week and that'll make it all good. No, it's actually the everyday, the quality time in quantity, in those bits of quantity and being present at home as well. I think that's awesome. Let's talk about... you've been married 31 years, Craig. That's amazing. Praise God for that. That's so good. Can we honor them for that? That's beautiful. How do you keep your marriage in a place where it survives the test of time? And I guess maybe speaking to those that maybe in the early stages of marriage, maybe that want to get married one day, what do you think has been what's kept you guys so healthy and loving each other, and from what I see anyways? Yeah.
Communication is key, but loving Janet as much as I can, and then asking God to help me love her those bits that I struggle with.
Yeah.
Like for me, she hates it when I get excited and I poke my teeth out. just to be honest with you, so when she
very specific.
That sort of but that's small, but I'm trying to make a picture in regards to God will enable you to love those areas where you struggle with, and the same for Janet going for me and vice versa. But the key has got to be the communication and being really honest. Like, I mean really honest. And it's a bit like having a house, and there's some rooms you won't let that person come into because you don't want them to come in there. In marriage, you've sort of got to open up the whole house. Mm. And the longer you're married for, the deeper that relationship goes. Mm. And I could talk more about that, but, I'm not going to go there.
I'm gonna piggyback off that. That's an incredible analogy, the rooms and wanting to keep them closed off. And I think about, I said, well, what about for these young guys or people that are aspiring? Like, I want to get married. I want to have a marriage for all of my days and those kind of things. You talk about those rooms. Well, we have to clean out those rooms. Because if we're going to keep them locked up because we're scared or ashamed, like, that's creating a separation in that marriage, which just doesn't last. And so I think that's the invitation for those of you that are like, yeah, okay, I'm going to get married. I want to get married. I've just gotten married. It's like, well, you got to deal with all the rooms of your heart and all the things and allowing the Lord to really work in those spaces. And then we stay on that journey, like as you've so touched on. Okay, let's talk a little bit about raising kids. I think we've all got something we can learn from that, either as a current parent or a future parent or whatever it may be. Quinton, you have a young one.
Yes.
What does it look like to be planted in the house for your family in this season?
Yeah, great. I think just to be serving, to be involved, I think for us that's a big part of our heart. And in such a big church, like, for you guys to make connections, you guys, you've got to be involved. And that's why we push, the connect groups are pushed a lot, because you can easily, I mean, for our first month here, you can easily just walk in and out the doors and not be seen and known. And that's not the heart of the house. So we want, everyone wants to be seen and known. And that's the heart of all the leaders, that you would be seen and known.
Yeah.
So I would say if you're going to plant somewhere, it means that people get to know about you and get to connect groups are place for that. And to continue to grow. That's why we serve. So we grow, and not just in areas that I would say are our strengths. When we came here, I felt the Lord say to me, I want you to join the prayer team. I'm not intercessory. Iz has a beautiful intercessory gift, and it's a privilege to sit under her leadership, because I get to glean from these people who carry something so special.
Yeah.
And I think if you don't position yourself under those people,
beautiful,
you won't grow in the
amazing
same way.
Amazing.
I think in Matthew it talks about honor, and it says, honor a prophet in the name of the prophet, you receive a prophet's reward.
Mm.
So how you posture yourself around leaders, you will actually receive, and you can actually pull stuff from you.
Yeah,
that's why when you hear people sit on the front row and they say they're amening the preacher, it's not necessarily for the preacher, because it actually positions you to actually, if you're sitting there with your arms crossed, you're positioning yourself physically to not receive.
Wow.
But if you can sit on the front row and engage, and you will actually pull stuff not just out of the preacher, but you can actually receive something more for yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Come on, Gordon.
I think for us. Yeah, sorry.
Come on.
Yeah, you found a passion point. You poked it. I'll let
we
it fly.
There, we got there. Any row, not just the front row. Anyway,
everyone should be amen.
Yeah. So good. I love that. Good. What about for you guys? What's helped your kids develop a genuine love for God in their seasons and as you guys have traversed being dads?
Sabotage them when they're really small, because they're a captive audience. So you can have, like, Sammy, she's over there. When she's really small, The Chosen came out, and we'd sit in bed together and we'd go through chapters of The Chosen or reading little books and things like that. What was really cool is having that, taking advantage. You might be exhausted. You come home from a hard day at work, and it's the last thing you want to do is go up and watch The Chosen. And sometimes I'd fall asleep when I was doing that as well. But it's spending that quality time when they're small and just keep incrementally just... when they become teenagers, you've got to back off a little bit, like when Josh was in year 12, to give them space to move into who they are and their identity. But definitely, a bit like, sad to say this, but Adolf Hitler getting in with the young kids, it's that bad example to use, but I just want to throw that one out there.
Yeah, you did throw that out there. I get the principle, though, I think. The when the Bible says, it says about, you know, train them while they're young and they won't depart from it, right? Those years of being young, investing into them. Good save. Did we save that? Praise God. Ian, what advice would you give to some of the young men here who want to be husbands and fathers one day?
It's a great thing. It's the highs are higher and the lows are lower. No, it's true. Like, I went into it thinking all these things, and it's way better than that, and it's way harder than that. And when you get married and you have a wife and you have children, and children especially, they'll teach you that all of a sudden life is not about you.
Yeah.
And it's learning to prioritize other people first. And in marriage, when I've done well, it's just because I've done that. And when I've done poorly, it's because I haven't done that. And in raising kids as well, it's the same sort of story. It's and you have to still be honest about things, but you just have to prioritize other people first. I think also the other thing about probably if you're going to, for guys especially when you're going into marriage, it's about your thought life. I would really strongly encourage everyone to just put a really iron gate around your thought life, capturing every thought and may bring into submission to what Jesus says, because the Bible doesn't say for no reason to guard your heart above all else, because like what you allow to enter your head, it'll drop into your heart as seeds.
And, beautiful.
There's no such thing as a hidden issue. They're just seeds that haven't sprouted yet. And so I'd put that work in first, because the sooner you get that going, the better off you're going to be.
There's no such thing as a hidden issue, just seeds that haven't sprouted yet. Wow. That's a word for some of us. We've got to deal with those things. Amen. Yours said, I had a note from what you said, chase God, not girls. You want to talk about that? You remember that? No,
I don't. No, I will. I pursue God. I changed my script after I pursue God, and the girls will pursue you.
Amen.
That's a word.
Do you need a Bible verse for that one?
Pardon?
Do you need a Bible verse for that one? Matthew 6:33. You got it? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Beautiful,
and
beautiful.
Everything else will be taken care of.
Yeah, great.
All right, are we good? Should we get going?
I've got one more thing. In regards to younger guys in their like early 20s or in teenage years coming up, and girls as well, people to get around your life that can mentor you, that have been before you, but godly people that you can trust. They may be an aunt or an uncle or a, well, if it's a guy, an uncle, a grandfather, and particularly grandfathers. I had a grandfather I got really close to when in his final years, and he just imparted a lot of the Spirit of God by just sitting and listening to his wisdom. And I just challenged, I talked to my students at school about this as well. Your grandparents, ones that you really identify with, spend time with them. I see Monty's mum and dad out here, people like that couple over there, and there's couples in our church that you might be drawn to by the Holy Spirit. Just have a coffee with them or spend some time and draw out that wisdom into your life.
That's amazing. Great, great vision. Wisdom. Okay, we're running out of time here. Let me pick a... Actually, I like your answer, Quinton. What advice would you give a young man who hopes to be a husband or father one day?
I love that you did the question again. I lost track of where we're at.
I got you, brother.
Sorry, there was a lot of stuff getting thrown around, so I was locking in. Young guys, I think Psalm 139 is like one of my life scriptures, but I've been really honing in on the last section lately. It says...
Search me
and know me and find any anxious way in me. And I think as young guys, like, I think that's so key. Like, let God mold you, let him prune you. And I'm like, pruning hurts or can hurt. I'm like, if anyone's a gardener, depending on what you're pruning, you go pretty hard. I've just pruned my roses. They don't look like plants anymore. Yeah. So if, like, truly let him prune you, and let, if it has to hurt a little bit, like, let it hurt and let him really, really mold you and shape you, because anything that you allow to stay now, it'll come into your marriage. You get to take it with you, or you get to leave it leave it here before you guys get there. Like, there'll always be stuff that comes up, but there's a lot of stuff I brought into our marriage that would have been a lot better that I didn't, and would have caused a lot less damage to myself and Amanda in the process, you know? So, yeah.
I just want to jump in there. I was a contract pruner in New Zealand, and...
Come on now.
They used to call me the butcher, but by going hard on your pruning, there's so much more fruit that comes out of it.
Come on. Come on. I told you that hat was real. All right. Praise God. Hey, thank you, guys. There's been so much gold. Ian, I want to ask you one question to just finish on with. What would you say to the dad or maybe the father, husband, or maybe even anyone, but who feels like they're failing?
That your performance doesn't dictate your value. And if God hasn't quit on you, then you don't quit on you.
Come on.
That your actions are not... Your actions are good or bad, that's true. We can succeed, we can fail, but your value, who you are as a person, your worth comes from what God says about you. And despite how you feel, because failures are hard and they hurt and they're embarrassing and they're humiliating, but your family needs you to turn up. So you just need to be there. Don't quit. Just turn up again, and they will... I think people are going to remember how you made them feel, not actually what you did. You know, and if you abandon them, if you pull out, if you withdraw, and I can definitely do that emotionally as well as an introverted person, but if you just pull out, they're going to feel that lack. And you'll be pulling out for all the wrong reasons. Isn't that right, Michael?
Oh, my goodness.
I love him. I love him. Oh, he is the best. He is the best. And that was genuine. No, but just turn up. Just turn up, because it's hard. I'm trying to get it back. Because who you are is what God says about you. That's it. And we're all on the road to working that out. And in the meantime, turn up. Don't quit.
Beautiful. Can we honor these guys? That's fantastic. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.